Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Prayer you are engaging in, and the systems by which you can be effective in them. Are we all there? All right, good. So if that be the case, today we are going to look at forms of prayer. Forms of prayer. And when we talk about forms of prayer, what I'm trying to talk about is that we are dealing with the language used in prayer. And one of the critical things we are going to learn today is the language which is called praying in the Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost. So the type of prayers is talking about the channel of what? Engaging prayer. Are you over here? So who do we pray to? How do we, the channels where prayer is directed? Remember last time I told that prayer has a direction, right? In the book of Psalms, it said, unto you I shall what? Direct my prayer. So prayer has what? Direction. Prayer can be what? Directed. And that is what I taught you. So you should know where your prayer is going. Are we there? Today we are going to look at the language that is engaged in what? In prayer. The language that we engage in what? Prayer. And that language, the language we use in prayer, the tongue we use in prayer, defines the form of what? Prayer. So that is what we are going to look at today. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so now, why is this very important? I want to quickly talk about the concept of language. Language is the strongest transformational tool that ever exists in this human system. If you want to change the identity of people, the fastest way to do it is to introduce a language to them. So in our second reading that we did, the book of Daniel, can we go back there? Go to the verse 4. If you want to change the identity of somebody, introduce them to a language. So if you want somebody to be a foul talker, somebody who speaks, should I use the word dirty language or foul words? Just introduce them to a place that they speak that language. Are we there? Are we there? You are in Accra, are you not doing it? Okay. Yeah. So let's look at something over here. You find out that when Nebuchadnezzar was looking for people who can represent his interest, when he seeded them out, the target of making them fit in his court was to what? Teach them the language of what? The Chaldeans. So language is very important in transforming people. So when they teach you the language of the Chaldeans, what they are doing is that they are taking away your identity. So do you know that the first thing we use to identify where you come from is your language you speak? So if you are born in a certain, or you belong to a certain tribe and you can't speak their language, we call you that you such a person. Why then? You are missing. It is a very big issue we are dealing with. So language is the strong transformational tool. It deals with the identity. So if you want to change an identity of a place, introduce a language. Introduce a language. Do you know that there is no nation in this world that can be powerful, a super powerful country, if they don't train their people in their own dialect? The problem of all colonized countries is because they took away our natural language. No matter what you do, we can never and ever overtake the Western world. Why? Because we speak their language. It's not our mother tongue. Should you be taught? Do you know why China is advancing at that top speed? You know that if you go to Germany, France, my brother, you stayed in Germany. How many of them can speak English? I think the population of Germany that can speak English should not even be up to 10%. Very low. Everything they do in that country is German. And if you go there and want to work over there, you must study their language as a way of employment. If you want to employ, you must speak their language. So every country that wants to become a super powerful country believes that their language, their mother tongue, is the number one language they should speak. What happened to West Africa? They took it from us. So some of you, if I ask you to read the Bible in your own dialect, you can't read. I'm not an exception. I can't read the Bible in a way. If you ask me to even read the just list the alphabet of the Ewe language. I'll get to somewhere in the middle and then I would. Some of you can't even read Abed. Should we organize a quiz right now? You can't read Abed. So this was the Roman strategy, the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire that ever lived. That was their strategy. So when they conquer you, what they do is that they take away your dialect and they introduce their language to you so that you can speak their language. And you find out that you begin to see yourself as part of them. So if I want you to change your identity, the first thing I do is what? Target your heart, your language. But I say we are going to talk about praying the spirit and forms of prayer. We're talking about language, right? Used in prayer. Are you following me? Okay, so let's go on. So the devil understands this and God also knows this. Hence, one of the powerful ways by which spirits invade the territory of men or announce their presence is the use of language. So if the devil wants to invade a particular place, there is a language he introduced. So if he wants to turn a generation to a generation of unserious people who are very to live any kind of life, they use language. Most of the times carried through music. Language. I hope you are following me. If a fetish priest wants to operate, there is a language that comes upon that spirit, that fetish priest, and the priest will begin to say certain things or speak certain things. And you'll find out that certain thing that the priest is speaking or saying would stir up an atmosphere in that priest. Some of you who may have heard of all these chants and other stuff, malams, they have books that they chant from. Their languages. Do you really get it? So language is very powerful. When the spirit wants to invade a territory, one of the things, or a spirit wants to announce his presence, one of the things it does is what? Introduce their heart, a language. Or take hold of what? The language. Or let there be a language that represents him. Hallelujah. So you found out that when the Holy Spirit even wanted to manifest himself, or one of the ways we test and be sure that you have received the Holy Spirit is your ability to speak in what? The heavenly language, which we call what? Tongues. True or false? So the confirmation that indeed the Holy Spirit has come upon you is by what? The oral what? Exclamation or oral what? Speaking. So when we know that we have received the Holy Ghost, how we know is that there is a language. You really get it? That's how spirits operate. Because language comes to work on your heart, identity. Are we on the same page? Do you get it? So I want you to understand the reason why language is very important in prayer. Do you get it? And I'm going to talk to you about it. So when the Holy Spirit wants to invade a man, he starts with what? For us to know that indeed he's working or is upon you, there is an expected language for you to what? To speak. Are we there? Are you with me? Okay. So now, regarding praying in a particular language or praying language, in the teachings of Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul gave us a clue that when it comes to praying, using words in prayer, there are only two categories by which we can do that. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15, can we go there? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15. What is it then? I will do what? I will pray with what? The spirit. And I will pray with what? Understanding also. Then he continued to say that I will do what? Sing in the spirit. And I'll also sing in what? Understanding. So, from this very scripture, Apostle Paul was suggesting to us or teaching us that as far as it comes to prayer, you can only do that. There are only two forms by which you can express yourself. Number one is what? Either by what? Praying in the spirit or praying with what? Understanding. Do you hear it now? And that's what we do. So when we come for prayer meeting, it's either we are praying. I'll talk about these two things, okay? Let me go there quickly so that we can build some point. So, what does it mean by praying with understanding? Let me start with that one. Praying and understanding. Praying with understanding simply means speaking a language that the mind can comprehend. Understanding is an issue of your mind. So when a teacher teaches you in class, one of their favorite questions they ask you is what? Oh, help me. What is the favorite question that teacher asks when after teaching in class? Yes, sir. Moti asie. No, sir. You've not taught in elementary school. Especially those of us who taught mathematics. You finish everything, they ask, do you understand? Yes, sir. Then you speak three. Moti asie. No, sir. So, so understanding is the art of what? The mind. So when Paul was saying that I will pray with my understanding, he's talking about speaking in a language that, are you with me? Speaking in a language that your mind cannot comprehend. Number two, those around you can also what? Understand what you are saying. Can we read the scripture to that? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16 to verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Go back one verse. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Do you really get it? Huh? All right. So, why did Paul speak about this dimension of what? Prayer. Paul strictly asked the church to pray with understanding or pray in a language that everybody can understand or their mind can be fruitful, because in congregational gathering, our ministration is not only to God but also unto what? Unto people. So Paul told them that you must pray with understanding, and that concept is for congregational gatherings. Are we there? So let's go to the verse 16. Verse 16. We are reading from 16 to 19. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. So when thou shalt what? Bless with the Spirit. So when I come here, I stand here, start to speak in tongues. Oh, random more verily, I'm blessing you, right? What do I say? How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned, that has not been, the person that has not gone to school, the person that has not understand what you're saying, say what? Say what? But you know that the promises of God, they are yea and they are what? Amen. At the giving of thanks, seeing that he understood not what thou art, say it. Continue. For thou verily givest thanks well. So it means that what you have done it very well, but the other is not edified. Why is this very important? The same place, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Take me to the verse 26. Congregational gathering. So Paul was teaching about language we use in terms of prayer, and was saying that in congregational gathering, when the purpose or the intention is to bless people, or it's a congregational gathering, we must speak in a language that we can all understand. Verse 26, watch. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you had what? Some. Had what? Doctrine. This is what? Teaching. Had a tongue. Do you understand? Had a revelation. Had an interpretation. Let all things be done in what? Edifying. So congregational gathering, the purpose is to what? Edify people. And edification must come as a result of what? Understanding. Are we there? So if you come here, you have psalms. We all have psalms. You have revelation. So imagine I'm teaching you in tongues. So today you came to church praying the Holy Ghost then. Should I teach you in tongues? So today the whole sermon I'm speaking in tongues. Will anybody be edified? You see the whole thing. So Paul was saying that we cannot only pray in the spirit, but there is also one way we have to pray, which is what? Praying with what? Understanding. So the believer must learn to what? Master both what? Praying with what? Understanding, and praying in the what? In the spirit. And when is it very needful to pray with understanding, especially in congregational gathering? So those of you, when we ask you to come and lead prayers and you pray tongues from the beginning to the end, today repent in the name of Jesus. Because some of us will not be able to follow you. Are you on the same page? I said today I'm going to correct a whole lot of stuff. Recently, a man of God, very renowned man of God in Church of Pentecost, made this comment, and people were coming after him, that this our generation, whenever we ask us to pray, then boom, tongue speaking. But that should not be it. We should learn to pray. And some of you, if I give you a microphone and I say use words to pray, you can't do it for 5 minutes. Now, yes. But in congregational gathering, you are not, when we are congregational, we are praying. For example, we are praying together as a corporate body. Do you understand? And we are, and you are saying, no, how are you edifying somebody? Do you really get it? Do you get a point here? So for the purpose of edification, it is important that when we are ministering to others in prayer, we must minister with what? Words that they cannot, a language that they cannot understand. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the first form of what? Prayer. It's the first form of what? Prayer. Now, the second form of prayer is what I want us to talk about. I just decided to combine the forms of prayer and do it today because it's not something new. It's just two things, okay? The second form is praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is when we speak a language which both us and other people, when I say us, I mean our mind, and other people, and even angels cannot understand it. This form of prayer is strictly done by our spirit through the aid of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 to 15. Same place. If you read the Amplified version, you get a more clarity to this. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit what? Prayer. Do you get it? So the organ of engagement. So the first one, which one is the organ of engagement? Your mind. Your mind is the one that does the first one. So we can pray with our mind. That does not mean, that means that you are speaking a language that you what? Understand. That is not the spirit. It's your soul doing that job. Speaking. But I said the second dimension, it is the spirit. And he said, unknown tongue, my understanding is what? So yet the soul has no way to what? Decode what you are saying. So when we pray in the spirit, what it means is that we shut down our soul from what? Interfering in what we want to what? Do at that time. Are we there? Let's continue. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with what? The spirit. So Paul didn't say, I may, I will. It is necessary. But also, I will not pray with understanding. Then he continued to say, I will sing with the what? The spirit. Here is where I want to speak about the issue of chanting. I'll come back there. It is biblical. Because not, it's not, are you following me? I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding what? So if I stand and say, you don't understand it. It's none of your business. Because I have that. That is a form of prayer we can engage. Hallelujah. This young man. Amen. Are we on the same page? Okay. This form of prayer is the only exclusive means by which we can talk to God alone without any other party having the ability to understand or know what we are speaking to God about. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. Watch this. God designed this model to exclusively communicate with you. Says that when you are talking to him, it is only you and him. Now on the issue of tongues, there are four kinds of tongues. I'll teach about tongue speaking. Not now. When we go back to communion with the Holy Spirit. What are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that's what? Speaketh not unto what? Men. But unto who? God. For no man understanding him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. I'll come back to that aspect over here. So God designed this model that there's a time that when you are talking to him, nobody, they're not even angels, can understand it. Don't forget, the devil is also an angel. There are tongues of angels. If you don't know, go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So there are tongues of angels. So I'm telling you. So there are tongues you can speak. There are tongues of angels. There are tongues of prophecy. So we can speak tongues. That's what we, a gift of what? Prophecy. There is a tongue aspect of it that people interpret. Do you get it? Then we have this one I'm talking about is the tongue that we use in prayer. I will pray in the spirit. That's what Paul is talking about. I will pray in what? So God gave us that kind of language, said that it is exclusive. I'm going to tell you why it's very exclusive. You're going to understand it. So you must learn to pray in the spirit. Let nobody tell that speaking in tongues is not. It's very important. But you should know where to use it. When we come and ask you, come and bless us over there. Cool. Brother. What is that? Maybe today, next week, I'll try to preach. Okay, next week, Pastor Collins is coming. So next week, I'll try to preach in the spirit. And let's see how you... Are we there? So congregational gatherings are for purposes of for edification. Don't come and do those things over here. Are we there? Good. So in other words, this is our coded language or our secure line of having a communication with God and only God only. When you watch movies, you see, especially Secret Service and those people, they can be talking with, is it a telephone or something in their hand? But all of you over there will not hear what they are talking about. And sometimes they tell the line is secured. So you and I can be having a call, but nobody in that area can hear what we are discussing. That is what tongues is. So I can be here and I'll be talking to God, and all of you are out of that communication. You don't know what is going on. So whether I'm asking God to drop bomb on you, you don't know. You don't know. If I'm asking God to do something to you, you don't know. Do you really get it? But so it is our secure line, and it is very important. Why? Because we and God, it is a matter of relationship. And in matter of relationship, two lovers must have a secured language that when they are talking, you don't know. There is a word I can use. I can say something here. My wife understands what I'm saying. All of you will not understand. It's true. Yeah. It's a term. Man of God, am I lying? Pastor Dennis, am I lying? Is that not it? We have used a particular term and we know what it means. So to you, you may think that I'm saying this, but that's not what I meant. She knows what I'm saying. Do you really get a point here? So, because with respect to our relationship and how intimate we want to be with God, God devised a means by which we can engage Him such that exclusively Him understands what we are saying. And that is what tongue speaking, praying in the spirit. So, when we say we are praying in the spirit, we are talking about what? Speaking in a language that only God understands, nobody else. Now I'm going to give you three whys, three W-H-Y, three of them, three reasons why we must pray in the spirit. Are we there? Are you being blessed? It's a teaching service. Let's follow. Number one, the reason why we have to pray in the spirit is because of the outpour of mysteries from man to God. Very important. Follow me. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter. Okay, let's be there. The same place. Do you see what Paul said about praying in unknown tongues? What did he say? He says that we that pray in unknown tongues, that what? Speaketh mysteries in the spirit. Speak out mysteries unto who? God. For no man understanding him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Now, if you study scriptures very well, and if you look at the Bible, you find out that the concept mystery, I've explained the word mystery to you, right? Divine, hidden, or divine secret, what? Truths. That is exclusively reserved for those who are out of God. So, mystery, if you study scriptures very well, you find out that the concept mystery is always about God revealing unto men certain hidden truth about him and his kingdom. So we have the mystery of what? Godliness. Is that not it? Well, the mystery of Christ. If you go into the Bible, you see all this. You have the mystery of what? The gospel. There are many mysteries. They have the hidden what? Wisdom of God, which is also what? A mystery. Shall I continue? The mystery of what? Faith. There are about 6, 7, 8 concepts of what? Mysteries. All these mysteries is talking about God and his kingdom. We have even the mystery of God. There's the mystery called the mystery of what? Iniquity. Are you with me? All these revelations or these hidden divine secrets are God revealing himself unto man and about his kingdom that men can be able to what? Relate. Remember that when we started the teachings on teach us to pray. I told you that the mysteries of kingdom before Jesus died was captured in what? Parables. Do you remember? So he told them that I captured my mysteries in what? Parables. And he taught prayer in what? In parable. Men ought to pray. It was what? A parable. Do you get it? So mysteries in general is God. But you find out that for the first time in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 12, the Bible says that man is also having a mystery in him that he also ought to communicate back to what? To God. And it is done by what? Tongue speaking. What is this mystery? I'm going to show you. And how tongues communicate it. So there are hidden divine secrets or truth that are buried deep in the spirit of the born again believer that no one knows except the spirit of the man and the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 to 12. Can we go there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. But as it is written, have you seen it? Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God had prepared for them that what? Love him. Continue. But watch how it is. But God has revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yet the deep things of what? God. Continue. For what man knoweth the things of what? A man. Save the spirit of what? Man. He was talking about mystery. He said, no one can know what a man is except the spirit of what? That man. Which is him, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of what? God. So there are hidden treasures in the born again believer. These truths are connected to our destiny patterns God has already set for us before the foundations of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Are you following me? So, as you are born again, there are mysteries of God hidden in you. Before the foundations of this world, it was already set in you. It is part of your destiny pattern. Blessed be the God, Father of Jesus, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And there are mysteries. In heavenly what? Places in what? In Christ. You read the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Let's read that one. The Bible said he has ordained us. Let's read. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained. Before what? Ordained. That we should what? Walk in them. So there are patterns. There are things that is in us. They are destiny patterns. They are in the believer. In a better way, Paul called it treasures in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. I just want to get the mystery. Because we know the mystery of what? The kingdom and God. But we didn't know that there is a mystery in man captured in your spirit. Connected to your destiny pattern. There's a mystery in you. So Paul called it that treasures in what? Earthen vessels. Read. For out of much affliction and anguish. Where are you? 7. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of what? God. And not of what? Us. So as you are here, there are what? There are hidden treasures. Treasures that are in you. In your spirit. They are hidden over there. These treasures are connected to what? Your destiny. And they are divine. And anything that is divine and is a secret becomes what? A mystery. That is why you can't understand that somebody you met yesterday that does not look like a potential billionaire in a space of time can change. That's why I can't predict. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men. What the Lord? It is a mystery. You can't see it. That is why you will miss it if you judge somebody by how they look at now. If you had met me 10 years ago, you will not believe I can do this. Me, myself, I didn't know I'd be a pastor. Matter, what did I tell her I would do? Chartered accountant, right? Me myself, I didn't know I end up here. I've chatted in the Bible now. I'm chatting in the Bible. So there are hidden treasures. There are mysteries in the individual person. The human being can never be predicted. So the Bible said that these mysteries we what? We speak them in what? Unknown language. Now how? The mystery is in us and only known by our spirit, man. But our mind have no knowledge about it. That is why you don't know. Most of us, you don't even know what will happen to you tomorrow. You don't know where you're going. You think you have an idea, but you don't know. It is only our spirit, man. So it is therefore that when we want to place a demand on this deposit of God in our lives, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to assist our spirit to communicate it well with God. So if you sit here and you want to place a demand on the treasures that are hidden in you, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit through your spirit man to release them. Why you release them? So that you can align with the purposes of God. And Paul is saying that these things, they are very effective and they are well done when we speak in what? Unknown tongue. And he taught it so well in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Follow me now. You have been quoting this scripture. Now I'm going to show why it's very effective. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Watch. Likewise the heart. Spirit also help our heart. Infirmities. Now infirmities here is talking about limitation. We are limited. So because of the fallen nature of man, we are limited in the capacity to buy into the exact mind of God. So the Bible said, as my ways, as the heaven is far from this earth, so are my ways what? Far from your ways, and my thoughts what? From your thoughts. So we have infirmity, we are limited. So the Spirit comes to what? Help us. How does he do it? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. If we are left on our own, we can never ask what exactly we need in life. We don't know. We don't know. But what happens? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us through what? Groanings which cannot be what? Uttered. The word over there is that what groanings means that language that no man can understand. It is a language, not uttered means that it is not a language that we are familiar with or a language that you speak or we understand. So as you sit here, the right way to decode what you need is not only saying it but praying to the Holy Ghost. That is why a tongue speaking believer can always pick the point. Have you been there and one time you were speaking in tongues, then you find out that something just aligned with you? Verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart, God, is the one who searches the heart of men, knoweth what is in the mind of what? The Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the sake according to the heart will of God. So if we want to buy into the will of God for our life, one of the sure way, that is why he gave you the tongue speaking exclusively to him, because he said, I alone know the thought I have about you, not of evil but what? Good. Nobody knows. You don't know the will of God. He knows it for you. So he said, I have an exclusive language that I want you to communicate with me to unlock what is in you. And it's tongue speaking. Don't joke with it. There are things you will discover by yourself when you soak into tongues. Ha! This language that we take it so lightly. That's why I told you it's an issue of identity. There's a new identity you have. The Bible said the old things have passed away. Behold, we have become what? New. One of the ways to live the newness of us is a language. Because if I want to change your identity, the only thing I attach is what? Your language. So if God wants to really get a man in alignment, he always starts his language. And one of the languages is what? The language of the Spirit. It comes to resonate with the new you over there. And everything that is in you, your spirit man will pick it up. So when I stand here and I start to pray, Kombranda Messiah, Ikumpele de Kombila Suta,
You don't understand what I'm saying. But in the spirit, I speak mysteries. And these mysteries are the hidden treasures of God in me, aligning to my new identity, unlocking the will of God for my life. That's why I can't miss it. So Paul never said that we shouldn't pray in tongues or in the spirit. But he said we should pray also in the spirit. I pray for you. You see, now when you say that, you begin to speak in tongues. You sometimes don't know when I feel threatened or something is happening, I don't get it. All I do is this, I just withdraw and I begin to speak in tongues. You know what I'm trying to do? I want to align. By the time you are done praying, you see some revelation. Oh Jesus, am I the only one who has ever encountered this? Don't let anybody bully you. See, do you know what? There's so much attack on tongue speaking. It's because this thing is a web. It's a serious thing. It's an issue of identity. So when we attack it, you lose it. So a believer is shy to speak in tongues. You don't know that when they wanted to transform Daniel and his brothers, it was the language of the Chaldeans they started with. That's why when the Holy Ghost came, the first thing is what? They spoke in tongues. The first thing Holy Ghost will teach you is what? To speak his language. Tongues. Then you start speaking the language of the Bible too. I pray for you. May you not be see, you must be bold to speak tongues. It's your new identity. It is your language. I want to ask you, what language was God speaking with Adam in the Garden of Eden? What language? Ask yourself. The Bible said God spoke face to face with what? Adam. What language? Before the fall of Adam, what was the language God was speaking with him? There's a language in the spirit. Number two. Wow. Number two. So the first reason why we must speak in tongues is because there is an outpour of mystery that comes from us to God, helping us to align to the will of God. So our infirmity does not stand in the way between what God wants to do with us. I pray for you. I know there are treasures in your earthen vessels over here, and the excellencies of God. I pray for you that as much as you stand in prayer and pray in the spirit, as much as you stand in prayer, pray in the spirit, you will continue to align to the purposes of God. That eyes will not see, neither ears have ever heard. See, the things that God is going to do with us in our generation, men think that they have seen God using people, and people think that they have seen God changing the lives of people. But I'm telling you that there is something about to happen in the lives of today's generation, and it can never be comprehended by men, because there is a mystery in you that is deposited for a revelation, for this season, for a time. And they said, the disciples said that, what a manner of man is this? Who is able to speak unto wind and be able to obey him? People begin to ask questions. What manner of man are you? The Bible said, notable miracles were done by the apostles, and they wonder and they took knowledge that they have been with Christ. If therefore Christ in you, I am telling that there is a hope of glory for you, and in a matter of time, people will see it. Number two, the principle of edification. The principle of edification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4, can we read? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that's what? Edified himself. But he that prophesied, edify the what? The church. Now let me explain that principle of edification to you. That principle of edification is what Jude chapter 1 verse 20 captures. It said that, but ye what, brethren, let's go. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Jude verse 20. But ye beloved, do what? Building up yourselves on your heart, most holy faith, praying in what? Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you something. Follow me. If you have been a student of my message, you know that I taught extensively on faith. And I spoke about the faith and our faith. We have the objective and the subjective faith. The objective faith is the faith that God has given you, subjected to what? Growth. And this faith was what Apostle Jude was talking about, that we build it up praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you how and why this means so. Now, what is the simple thing about this faith? Our faith, that faith, the simple definition is, it is a spiritual protocol system through which spiritual things are legally transported into the physical realm. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the what? Substance of things what? Unseen. Evidence of what? Things what? Hoped for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not what? Seen. So there's a legal protocol system by which things, that's why normally people call faith what? The spiritual currency. So the things that we see in the spirit, the things in the spirit that are for us, it is faith, that system that is able to manifest it in the physical. Now, this is the whole issue. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of what? God. Now, that second hearing is what? Rhema. This rhema is what builds you. And I'm going to show how rhema comes. Your faith, we are talking about, it comes by what? Hearing. And the second hearing is what? The revelation. So there are two hearings over there. The first hearing is what you are hearing over here. And the second hearing is what? The revelation. It's the same thing that Peter was talking about. That desire the sincere milk that you may thereby what? Grow. Paul also made mention of it in the book of Acts. That I ought. He said, I commit you to the word of what? Grace. That is able to what? Build you. Now, why am I saying that praying in tongues works on this one? Follow me. Revelation does not come because you read the Bible. Revelation comes as a result of an encounter. That you may know. Paul said, I was praying for the church that they may what? Know. Now, whenever we read the Bible, the only time it becomes a revelation is the spirit dimension is what? Encountered. How do we encounter the spirit dimension? When spirit communicates with what? Spirit. So when I take my Bible and I read my Bible, are you following me? When I read the Bible, what I do is that once I meditate, I pray through that scripture. Then the light or the weight or the spirit behind that word, I come into contact with it. And that spirit or that encounter add towards my level of faith. Do you really get it? So when you, I don't know, but I practice this after reading Kenneth Hagin's book, that whenever he's studying the Bible, he's praying a lot of tongues. It's true. You try it and see. Praying in the spirit. Because you cannot lay hold on spiritual things with carnal systems. We lay hold on spiritual things with what? Spiritual system. And one of the models of engaging a spiritual system is speaking in what? Because he does speak in the spirit. Speak at what? Mysteries. So our faith is being built up once we pray through scriptures in tongues. I don't come here to preach because I read books. And I told you that anytime I teach you, you can go and search for any book you are thinking about. And see if No. I know what to do. That my 1 hour non-stop tongues. When I take the Bible, I don't joke with it. No matter how tired I am. I got back yesterday. I think, what time did I check in? Almost 11 o'clock, right? 11 o'clock. Because I know I have not prepared for today. When I settled from 11:30 to 12:30 on my bed, I have to make sure that I pray in tongues to set my spirit alert for the Holy Ghost to what? When I woke up this morning, I started writing. Do you know the Bible said that Those who wrote the Bible, they were arrested by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used them. The Bible said, holy men, whom through the Spirit gave out the scriptures. If you want to see your faith grow, now the growth of your faith is talking about how your faith moves in the six or seven dimensions of faith life. From faith to what? Knowledge. From knowledge to what? I taught you. Add-ons of faith. Eh? From knowledge to what? Hey. The final product of faith is love. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to mention it to you. Go and look for them. It's in Ephesians. Add-ons of faith. They are there. Go and look for it. I'm not mentioning it. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, what we are doing is that we are growing our faith. That means that we are aligning. In fact, to make it in a simple sentence, the dimension of which you are able to assess spiritual things is determined by how much you spend time in prayer, especially praying in tongues. Because the more the things of the Spirit come real to you, the more you grow in faith. Finally, I didn't plan to keep you long, and I want to close you on time. The most and one of the key reasons why we have to pray in tongues is this, that it is an effective tool for spiritual warfare. Follow me now. Praying in tongues, an effective tool for spiritual warfare. I am not the one who said it. Paul himself who said it. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 8, 17 to 18. Let's read. So Jesus said, build up your faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What this means is that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you encounter revelations. And it's the revelation that builds you. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? So faith grows. So more faith. The more word, more what? More faith. More word, more faith. That the God, Ephesians 6:17. Bring that young man here for an anointing service. And take the helmet of what? Salvation. And the sword of what? The Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. What did he say? Praying always with all prayer. And I told this what? All kinds of what? Prayer. And supplication what? In what? So do you know that if I'm speaking in tongues right now, in the Spirit, if I'm praying in the Spirit right now, I can sum up all prayers together in just speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I'm going to show you how this is an effective tool for warfare. I'm going to show you. Follow me. In the school of warfare, the offensive weapon that Apostle Paul exposed us to, actually there are two weapons. We have the weapon of light. I've already spoken to you about it. The armor of light. Then we have what? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon, which is what? The word of God, revelation. Apostle Paul said that when you have received the sword of the Spirit, what do you do? You must be what? Praying always in the heart, the Spirit. In the school of warfare, an effective tool to combat warfare is, number one, you get the revelation, which is the sword of the Spirit. When you get that revelation, pray that revelation through what? The Spirit. What is it trying to say? Anytime you find yourself in a situation, anytime you come under an attack, one of the effective ways to decode what is happening is speaking in tongues. Try it and see. You can be there, and I've noticed this, that sometimes I can be there and a name of somebody will just come into my mind and I'll start speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. In a few minutes, you see that what God will start telling you what exactly the issue is. You see that the revelation will start coming. Okay, do this, do this. When you pray long in tongues, you will start receiving instructions. Try it and see. He said that we should pray with the sword of the Spirit. So the revelation is what we are using to deal with the situation. So as you are praying in tongues, you are praying in tongues. What is happening is that you are hitting a realm. You are hitting a realm. And then God will begin to give you instructions. Okay. This is what is happening in your family. Do this. Do that. Do this. If you think I'm lying, you pray for over 1 hour in tongues. Take a pen and paper and see the things that the Holy Ghost will tell you. You can never decode things, spiritual warfare, strategies, battle strategies, if you don't learn to pray long in the spirit. Because that revelation, whilst you are speaking in tongues, the devil does not know what you are telling God. Remember, it is only you and God. Eh? Yeah, so the devil doesn't know what is going on. So it is you alone who get that revelation. I can be praying in tongues, and God will tell me something about somebody and say, do this. That's why I see people are highly sensitive and spiritual. They can just shout and things are done. Okay. Do you remember, I think, is it last 3 weeks, midweek service over here? A.E. sister, I prayed for over here. Do you remember? You remember what I'm talking about? Who was here? Okay, you're here. You saw that when I prayed for her first, she got up and I noticed that nothing was done. Then I said, let's pray, and I spoke in tongues. Do you know what I did? I said something. I said, use communion. It is a battle too. If you want to be effective in warfare, tongue speaking. So the three wise we pray in the Holy Ghost, or we have to pray in the spirit, a form of prayer, is because number one, the mysteries that we communicate, it comes along, or it comes effective when we speak alone to God. And it builds our faith. And it is our way of prevailing in battle. It's our way of prevailing in battle. Now, this is what I want to conclude with. Why do we have issues about praying in tongues? Why? We are having issues about praying in tongues because people are misusing it. There's an abuse of this system. And one of it is, I've mentioned, when we meet at a congregational gathering and you are asked to minister unto us, at that point, we want you to speak in a language we can hold. Understand. At least. Number two, the Holy Ghost chants, because say we can sing in the spirit, are not things that we sit and we mechanized. It comes on its own. Do you know why somebody like Chuflo Sunday has really taken over the system? Because that man sings from the spirit. For every three lines of words, there are 24 tongues that flows. When he said, continually set me on fire, by the time you hear that one again, it's in the next 5 minutes, because the rest, it is tongues. And do you know that when he's on the stage singing, most of the things he does there, they come, that's what we call it, the spontaneous flow. Those things he says, it's not coming because he wrote them down. He just gets one word, he sings it. The reason why he speaks more of tongues is because he's downloading the next word. And when he releases it, practice tongue speaking. Who among you cannot speak in tongues? Because this is the time. Practice speaking in the spirit. The reason why people are having issue about this thing and there are so much attack on it is because, number one, our identity is buried in that language. Number two, mysteries comes out of that language. Number three, we are built through that language. Number four, our strategy of taking over warfare is connected to that language, praying in the spirit. In other words, there cannot be an effective Christian life which is not connected to the speaking in the spirit. So in as much as you pray with understanding, know that your mysteries are communicated not with words of understanding. They are communicated with words that people can understand. This morning, I want you to go back. And when you sit in your room, when you find yourself in anything in life, you will understand where to apply certain dimensions of prayer. as I wrap up my first phase of teachings on prayer, I believe that I have equipped you enough, just as Jesus equipped his disciples, he taught them to pray. And I believe that you have learned so much enough that you cannot be inefficient and not ineffective in prayer. And I look forward that what people achieve through prayer, you will begin to show for them in your life. Because people were able to make mountains valleys, and make valleys what? A mountain. By prayer, people were able to achieve that men could ever think of. So Jesus said, ask anything and I will do it. I look forward to a life transformed by a praying man. And I look forward to a life of people who are able to make prayer a system that when people come into their life, they know that indeed by prayer we shall prevail. Jesus said, this kind goeth forth not except by fasting and prayer. I pray for you that starting from today, when you go back to your house, you will know that there are certain things in this world, it is only prayer that can deal with it. So in the days where prayer becomes a need, you can be able to stand and what deal with prayer. Not all sickness are cured by medicine. Not all office jobs are dealt by what? Not all office problems can be solved by the knowledge you read in the book. In fact, it's limited. What was the exceptional grace of Daniel? In the book of Daniel, we found out that when Nebuchadnezzar applied the test unto them by asking of them if by graduation, when they said they have graduated, the Bible said that they found them 12 times better than 10 times better than other people. But there was a day that he wanted to test how good his people were. And the Bible said he told them, I had a dream I can't remember. And I expect that as wise men, as people who have gained capacity in the things you have been trained, you should be able to produce the result. The Bible said they all failed, but there was a group of people who didn't fail. They saw that at that point, this thing cometh forth by prayer. And the Bible said they entered a place of prayer. And Daniel and his brothers prayed. And the Bible said, in dream, God revealed it unto him. And the Bible said, when Nebuchadnezzar heard the interpretation thereof, he fell at the feet of Daniel and worshipped him. I'm telling you, some of you, your promotion, it is not in your certificate. It is in the dimension by which you can be able to expose prayer. Therefore, when you go to the office and everybody is failing to do that job, you will go into the washroom and put your hand or just sit there for just 10 minutes and all you are doing is kato bradia toka. He fell mekum paladia tam. And by doing so, you are assessing the solution from heaven. I remember that there were times that I sit before papers in UCC whilst we are writing exam and I go blank. How did I pass cost management? How did we pass? Because the teacher himself didn't understand what he was teaching. My colleagues are, you can ask them if I'm lying, they'll tell you. The only person who was trying to help us was EBCSF Christ, he was trying to. I had B plus. I asked myself, Mata, do you know what happened that day? You know, after the paper, you didn't see me. I left. I went to Science Gardens. That's why I went to pass the paper. Come on. I knew that this one, I have failed. Because they said, attempt four questions. The man himself wrote it, attempt. Ask them, it was written, attempt, not answer or attempt. When UCC tells you attempt, they know what they are saying. And I, out of the four, I attempted one and a half. Even the half, I had B plus. And I said, Lord, I can't fill this paper. No, I can't fill this paper. The way this man has stressed us, I can't fill. So I left without confusion. I didn't look for anybody, straight to Science Gardens. I prayed, speaking in tongues until I feel relieved. Let me show you one way of dealing with this. When you feel depressed, when you feel pressured, speak in tongues. It will relieve you. And after I prayed for that time and I noticed that I'm fine, I came back and I know it is done. Whilst people were worried about that paper, I closed my mind because I know I've settled the matter. I said there are certain things. Jesus said this can't go ahead not except by what? Prayer and fasting. If it comes to that point when it is a demand of prayer, I pray that you will deliver in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will do what? So you must learn to conform to the two patterns of prayer, the two forms of prayer. Pray with understanding, but also know that you have to pray in the spirit. And that is for you. And that is for you. I want you to rise up to your feet. Whilst we take just 5 minute practicals and I'll close you. 5 minutes. Some of you have never downloaded anything spiritually before. Today we are going to do a download. And over Brakabasaya. don't know what you have been asking God concerning your life, but I want you to pray in tongues for the next 4 or 5 minutes if you can. And as you pray in the spirit, be in an expectation that mysteries can be downloaded. Directions will come to you. Warfare strategies are coming onto you. And I want you to begin to pray in that language right now. Lift up your voice and pray. Kabra bado shataka. Oh, kila vambra no seya. Oh, rande vele gadiatose. Rava branda makabasaya. Shanta breda belebe. I will pray in the spirit. And I also pray with my understanding. Praying all kinds of prayers in the spirit and supplication God of unto the saint. Lift up your voice and pray all kinds of prayers in the spirit. Be it petition, pray it in the spirit. Oh, be it intercession, pray it in the spirit. All kinds of prayers can be prayed in the spirit. So when we lift up our voice and we pray in the spirit concerning matters of our life, at that instant we can be speaking about matters concerning intercession. We can be speaking about matters concerning supplication. Lift up your voice and pray all kinds of prayer. Radilo moko bela sata. Ikante brede bebe bosaya. Intolondo momo sata. Kilava brano sete telebe. Adoro moko bia sata kaya. Shanda makole brasaya. Oh, pray, 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 pray. Pray. The mind is unfruitful, but the spirit is being released to work. Sometimes our worries, our thoughts, our anxieties, the pressure can even interfere with the prayer life of us. The only way we can pray through prayers is when we go beyond the place of the mind and we allow our spirit to flow. Flow in that dimension. Flow in that dimension. Flow in that dimension. Atembe brekosaya. Oh, radevele mekosata. In patele no mokose. Radada bababo. Ishanda kadini miantakaya. Imompe la diata. Koradini miosata. Sometimes they wait on you so much that you don't know what to say. Oh, switch into the spirit and let the tongue speaking do the job for you. Because we can pray all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Sometimes it might be a matter of deliverance and you don't know how to communicate it. But the Bible said we can pray all kinds of prayers in the Holy Ghost. Oh, in the name of Jesus, lift up your hand wherever you are. This morning God told me that he's going to release the grace of supplication upon people. There is a grace coming on you that you will pray. The Bible said Elijah was a man like a subjected to life passion, and he prayed and there was results. Hannah said in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, she said that for this thing I pray for, Hannah was able to show evidence of her prayer life. I said there's a supplication for prayer. It is not about the long hours you are going to pray. It's not going to be about the shouting you are going to pray. But you are praising based on knowledge and revelation. Based on understanding, because you have been taught to pray. And it will make results. The Bible said, whatever you shall ask in my name, so I will do it. I pray for you that go in that grace of supplication. Amen. May your voice tender in the corridors of heaven. Amen. When you lift up your voice in prayer, let there be result in the name of Jesus. Let lives of people be transformed by your prayer. Let lives of people be transformed by your prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for you. Any battle that has been declared over your life, you are armed with knowledge to overturn it in the name of Jesus. I said anything that goeth forth by prayer, I release you with that strength of supplication. That if you start to deal with them by prayer, let prayer answer to them in the name of Jesus. Jesus said it, this can go ahead not forth except by prayer. anything that is subjected to the application of prayer, I declare that prayer will handle it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Spirit of God. The Lord is anointing you with that grace. Oh, Mandile Velebosaya. Lo Brandele Gede Basaya. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit of God.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.